So good to have you here this morning. If you do me a favor, open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. We're going to get there in just a moment. And if you'll do me a favor, just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was last week actually, I was walking out of the house on Monday. It was after school is letting out. And right at the time I was walking out, I could hear that familiar song that I remembered as a kid. And it was the song that comes out of an ice cream truck as it's cruising through the neighborhood. Y'all remember that? When you were little and you would hear the ice cream truck and all of a sudden you would, didn't matter what you were doing, you would freeze and go, there's ice cream. And you're like, we're going to get ice cream today. And you would go and you would scrounge up every penny, every nickel, every dime, and you would chase that thing. And I think on purpose, the ice cream guy would see you and just keep on driving. You know what I mean? Out of the rearview mirror, just make you chase him just a little bit down the block, right? But then you get there and you would look at each other and go, we're going to get ice cream. Remember that? Yeah. Come on, hand me out now. All right. I wasn't the only one that ran down the street. Well, listen, here's what I want you to know today. We're going to get freedom. So would you look at your person next to you on the right and the left and say, we're getting freedom today. All right, come on. We got to loosen up here. We're going to continue our discipleship track. And this series has been an incredible series. We've had in our life group just amazing, amazing conversations. And God is discipling us as we're growing together in our groups. And for those of you that aren't in a group, you're taking these documents home and hopefully you're being discipled as well. And those of you online, you can go to revcity.com and you can pick up these discipleship materials and be discipled. And the idea is that this track is written to help us as the body of Christ, as the people of God, to deepen our understanding of the foundations of our faith. And it's so important that we hold on to that. And I hope that this series, that you've listened to it, as you've read through the documents, that you've recognized the importance of moving just beyond being a casual listener, okay, but to being a disciple, a follower of Christ. In the book of James chapter 1, it says this, that we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. And I saw a video the other day. It was really funny on social media. And it was of a little child, and they were sitting. They were sitting in their home, and they were studying. I think they were preparing for a test, and they had their book open, and they were just doing this. How many of you know that doesn't work? You've got to open up the Word of God. You've got to read the Word of God, and you've got to do the Word of God. Amen. So we can do this all we want. You know, you got to read it. You got to get into the Word of God. And so through this series, hopefully you're learning that and being discipled. So today I want to speak about not a really popular subject, but one of my favorite subjects, and it's about your past and about my past. Okay, and it's about our past as the body of Christ. And so I love this following quote that was given, said to me by one of my pastors growing up in ministry, Jimmy Evans, and he said this, before God can release you into your destiny, he has to reconcile your past. Before God can release you into the destiny that he has planned for you, and he has a good plan to give you a future and hope, before he can release you into that, he's got to go back and reconcile the past, because that past can forfeit your destiny if it's not reconciled to God. So let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father God, thank you so much for your word, Lord God, that you send your word out and it accomplishes exactly what you mean for it to accomplish. It does not fall to the ground or return to you void. And I pray, Father God, that we would have hearts to receive your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, once the past has been redeemed and you've been forgiven, healed, and restored, then God will then use the past to become a part of your testimony, okay? And it'll contribute to your life, to the life of others, and to your future. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to the yoke of slavery again. See, when you surrender your life to Christ, you become that new creation. And something begins to happen as a new creation. The first thing that happens is our spirit becomes alive in Christ. Okay, we go from spiritual death to life, from darkness to light, and our spirit is completely sanctified, all right, and free from the penalty of sin. We're born again. The second thing that happens is our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions begin the progressive process of sanctification, where the areas of bondage in our lives that we begin to get set free in our mind, in our will, in our emotion. And then we have our body, the third part, and our bodies remain mortal but become the temples of the Holy Spirit. And then one day we're going to receive a glorified body. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so today, for the sake of this chapter on the discipleship check, I'm going to talk about the second point, the soul. Okay, and at salvation, the Holy Spirit begins to work on our soul. That progressive work of sanctification begins, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to try to lead us to a place of healing and to a place of freedom so that we can begin to walk in the newness of the creation that we become. Now, there's a word that's become very popular in our culture today. And I didn't realize this, but there's a word, this one word is used two different ways, one in a medical term and one in what I would call a slang type of version. And the medical definition of the word, well, let me say the word first. It's triggered. Have anybody heard that word? Triggered. I've been triggered. Somebody's triggered me. They're triggered. And it's just all over the media, and people are saying this all the time. And so the medical definition of that word is often used in people's lives who suffer from PTSD. Okay, they experience a strong emotional reaction, fear, shock, anger, worry, especially because they're made to remember something bad that has happened in their past. Okay, and it's feelings of memories associated with a traumatic experience causes PTSD, and they become triggered because of something. Now, I have family members that served in the military that suffer from PTSD, so I understand a little bit about what that looks like. There's another way that word is used, and it's kind of what I would call the slang version, and it's often spoken in a relationally destructive way to silence those who want to engage in a serious conversation, okay, it could be politics or media or people or something going on in the world, and it's used in a demeaning way to say, you're just a triggered crybaby, get over it. So it's destructive. But here's the thing. Regardless of the definition of the word triggered, whether it's the medical or the slang, to live your faith as a follower of Jesus Christ, triggered is not God's will for your life. Listen, God sent his son Jesus to die for us, to be resurrected for us, so that we would be free, untriggerable, okay? Amen. To be able to stand firm and not go back to a yoke of slavery, like we just read. To be completely and totally free from the past. So you're there in the book of Exodus chapter 34. Listen to this. The Lord God, a God of mercy and grace, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God is a good God, a good Father, and he is merciful. However, because of the sins of our past generations, our forefathers, okay, that iniquity, if it's not taken care of, the sins of your past will visit to the third and to the fourth generation. That is not good. And so God, listen to this, God has a desire to set you free from your past. Because a past that is not reconciled to God has the ability, once again, to forfeit the future that God has planned for your life, and it's a good plan. Let me give you a prophetic picture of this. Look in the book of John chapter 11. It's the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and Jesus loved Lazarus very much. But he died. And And Jesus shows up. It's been about 4 days. And he goes to the tomb and he says, open up the tomb. And they're like, man, he's been in there for 4 days. It's not going to smell good. And it's not a good thing. And he says, did I not tell you that you were going to see the glory of God? So they opened up the door and Jesus shouts in verse 11, Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His hands and his feet were bound in grave clothes. His face was wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Come on, man, that's a good word. Listen, Lazarus had died and was bound up in linen and placed in a tomb. When Jesus resurrected him, he was born again. He was alive again. However, he was still bound. Jesus then instructed those around him to unbind him. And this is a prophetic picture of what you and I were before we came to Christ and surrendered our lives to him. We too were dead in our sins. And then Jesus called us and said, come out. And we came out and we were still, listen, we came alive again. We became spiritual beings again. And however, some of us are still walking around bound. Bound up in iniquity. Bound up in the words that we speak. And God's coming to you today and say, hey, unwrap them. They need to get free today. Now, let me give you some word. Let me break down the word iniquity a little bit. And it's the word avon in the Hebrew, and it means to bend. In West Texas, where I grew up, there was always a prevailing wind, and it was always going. It was just always blowing. And you would see these young trees that would grow up, and they would get bent. They would kind of grow up going sideways almost. Have you seen those before? And so in West Texas, there's a lot of trees that are bent. And that's what the word avon means, to bend, to be bent. It's iniquity, okay? And because of the influences of our parents, our previous generations, we too can grow with a bent, okay? Because of the things that our parents have done, we also end up doing. How many of you ever said this? When you see something your parent does, well, I'm never going to do that. I don't want to be like that. Well, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. This is a saying that was said, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. How mom and dad do, we do sometimes, right? So here's some family iniquities that you can develop a bent for, okay? Anger. Just, now don't anybody raise me. That's me, don't say that. Just listen to what I'm saying to you, these iniquities, and say, see if you can identify with any of them. And this is not an exhaustive list, but see if you can identify with any of them in your family. Anger, substance abuse, chauvinism, sexism, racism, abuse, physical, verbal, sexual, immorality, negativity, lack of faith, lack of belief, perfectionism, conditional love, pride, unforgiveness, gossip. At one time, we had those iniquities, or we have them right now operating in our lives. Think about your upbringing. Your upbringing, how you were raised. Were the things that you were exposed to biblically and morally correct? What causes our upbringing to be straight or correct? The Word of God. And some of you were blessed beyond measure to be raised by the Word of God as a standard in your home, but many of us were not. We may have had the Word, but it was kind of like this. You know what I'm saying? We didn't do the word. And so listen, God's word is the plumb line of what is morally correct and biblically straight. And I had to look up the word plumb line. Because I was thinking, food? Well, I don't understand. So a plumb line is used in construction oftentimes, and there's a string attached to a magnetic weight connected to the end. And when the line is held straight, the weight can fall freely, and an exact vertical measurement can be defined, and they call that word plumb or level. Now, just as a plumb line is not dependent on the thoughts or the convenience of the carpenter, the construction guy, neither is God's word truth subject to the beliefs or the bent of man. It's just God's truth. It's always straight. It's always plumb. Okay? So if we want to get unbent, we got to line up. We got to get plumb with the word of God. See, if it's bent, it needs to be made straight. And here's the thing, there's no crookedness or corruption in the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing bent. If your parents didn't deal with things biblically or morally correct, they were bent or not plumb. Some things to consider to ask the Holy Spirit to help you recognize where there may be iniquity in your family. These are questions you might ask. How does your family resolve conflict? Was it by volume? Was it by anger? Was it by shutting down and avoiding conflict? How does your family handle money? How does your family treat each other? How did your mom treat your dad? And how did your dad treat your mom? How did they treat you as a kid growing up? All those things can signify whether we have a bent one way or the other, not plumb according to God's word. If our parents' actions weren't biblically and morally correct, and they were bent, and if they were bent, that means that you could have the same bent in your life. And so you're asking these questions, say, man, do I practice any of these common family iniquities described above that Pastor Eddie just shared with me? And as you inventory your behaviors, you're saying, God, am I living biblically and morally correct? Am I plumb according to your word? Now, how do you break iniquities? Well, I'm glad you asked. Listen, the first way, you recognize that they're there. You recognize that there may be an iniquity operating in my life and in the life of my family. You call it what it is. Don't try to defend the way that your family did it. Because if what they did, it was not according to God's word, then it is wrong and it needs to get reconciled to God. One of the things that I would say as an excuse with the iniquity that we dealt with is anger. My family, people in my family, my dad, my whoever, they could get angry. And then I'd have a bad temper. So, well, that's just the DS men. We're just angry people. Like that justified it. That made it okay all of a sudden. No. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So when you get angry and you go into sin, guess what you're doing? You're giving the devil an opportunity. The word of God tells us, be angry, Eddie. Don't sin in that anger. Don't give the enemy an opportunity to steal from you. We need to discover the root issue of the anger, Eddie, and get set free. And more importantly, then we have to be transformed and have our mind renewed so that we don't operate in anger anymore. We've broken the iniquity of anger off. Now, here's the thing. Iniquity is always available to me. It's always available to you. If you struggle with anger like I did and like I can walk out the door and get angry because anger is going, hi, Eddie, how are you, my old friend? But we've got to master the sin that waits at the door for us. We have to break that iniquity and then be mindful and walk free in the newness that God has given us. In our family, I had a grandfather that could get angry. And he'd have a temper. And when he spoke, you jumped, you moved, you know, whatever was supposed to do. And so he would walk into the kitchen or dining room and he goes, I'm hungry. Then he would go find his seat and pull out his tray table, and food better be coming quick. Do you know what I'm saying? And when I was a kid, I was like, that's the Lord right there. I tried that with Beth and it didn't work. She doesn't drink good. See, we've got to get to that place where it says, man, our minds are renewed. Romans 8:29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, to be made plumb, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Let me dig into what it means to get free from iniquities here. First, again, recognize that, okay, maybe I have this in my life. We got to recognize it there. Number one, we have to then take responsibility for our behavior. You have to understand, if there's an iniquity operating, I've got to take responsibility. I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my forefathers. Take responsibility for the behavior you're operating in, the iniquity you're operating in. We must allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify us by renewing our minds and aligning it to the Word of God, okay, transforming us into the image of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord of the Spirit is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Number two, we have to forgive our ancestors. We have to forgive our forefathers, mom, dad, grandpa, whoever. The biggest issue that I see in trying to take people through freedom is unforgiveness. You have to forgive. You have to. But Eddie, you don't know what they did. I know I don't know. God knows, and he's telling you, forgive. You've heard this said before. This, you know, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It doesn't hurt them. Oftentimes, they don't even realize you have unforgiveness against them. They're living their life, woo! You forgive. It sets you free. I know it's hurtful. I know it's painful, the things that you've gone through. Forgive so that God can forgive you and set you free from that bondage and that iniquity. Number three, make Jesus the Lord of every area of your life. Break any and all iniquities of the past generations. Again, there's a lot of people that open the Bible, but not a lot of people that read the Bible, and even less that do what it says to do. Early in my walk with the Lord, I didn't treat Beth. I didn't treat my kids or my extended family the way the Word of God instructed me to treat them. I was a male chauvinist pig, for lack of a better word. Had a lot of anger issues. I thought that it was my way or the highway. And God had to do a work in my life. I continually gave into anger and reacted out of anger. Jesus had to become the greatest influence in my life. I had to begin to ask, Jesus, how do you want me to deal with this anger? How do you want me to deal with my relationship with my family? How do you want me to deal with this anxiety that I'm dealing with? How do you want me to deal with finances? God, would you give me new values and priorities for my life? Would you help me to walk through the pressures of my life, not the way my family did, but the way you, in your word, says I should do these things? Father, would you make my thoughts pure? Would you show me in your word where I can be morally and biblically correct related to sexual purity? Father, would you set me free from any addictive behaviors that I have? Would you show me in your word how I can be broken free from those things and walk that out? So not only am I not addicted anymore, but I'm helping others through my testimony to become non-addictive. See, God wants to send you and propel you into the future, but he has to reconcile your past. I want you to do me a favor. This is kind of different, but I want you to stand up for me real quick. If you're there at home, if you're sitting in your car, you're there in your living room, wherever it is, I want you to stand up too, just as an act of faith. We're gonna pray a prayer. And here's what I wanna do. I'm gonna read this prayer over you, and I'm gonna pause twice in this prayer. Two times, okay? And the first pause, I want you to recall the blessings of your family that have been generationally passed down in your family. Okay? And then the second pause, I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you about any iniquity that you need to deal with and be broken off of you today. Don't say it out loud. This is between you and God. We're going to pray this prayer. And I'm going to say pause and blessing, pause again, iniquity. Okay? So here we go. Father, I thank you for the generational blessings that have passed down to me. I especially thank you for, pause. Recall the blessings that the Lord has given to you and your family generationally. I also understand that the sins and the iniquities of previous generations of my family have affected me. And I confess the sins and iniquities of my family, such as, pause, I turn away and I renounce any place that I've personally given to those sins and iniquities, and I receive your forgiveness and your cleansing from them. Through my redemption through Christ, who has triumphed over my enemies by crushing the head of my enemy, I break the power of those iniquities and what they've had over me. I renounce and break any bondage and hold over my mind that's been held over my mind, my will, and my emotion. Jesus, I ask you to transform us through the cross, every curse, iniquity, back into your original design for my life. Today, I cover my past and my heritage with the blood of Christ. I also confess that I have been made a new creation in Christ and have been given a new heritage. I take back what the enemy has stolen from me. Thank you for giving me, my children, and my future descendants a new heritage and a new future. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. I totally psyched out the worship team. They're thinking we go up now. If you hang with me, we're good. We're going to be a bit long. Those iniquities, if you believe that, if you heard that prayer, you receive that prayer, those iniquities are broken off of you in Jesus' name. Now, here's what I would say. Be attentive to the Holy Spirit to speak, to continue to speak to your life. Any areas that you need to reconcile back to him related to a generational iniquity. You're going to still need to crucify your flesh and deal with learned behaviors. But it's broken off. And don't try to repair those things, those iniquities and things that are broken. Don't try to repair them. If we try to repair something God has broken, then we understand that we're going to have that bent again. And we're given opportunity for the enemy. I'm going to finish up right here with inner vows. Iniquities, inner vows. Inner vows are generally protective measures. The things that we say in response to hurt or areas from our past that we're trying to protect ourselves from. It's a self-comforting promise to make an inner vow. I said this a minute ago, I'll never be like my parents. That's an inner vow. Here's an example. I'll never treat my children like that. I'll never be poor. No one is ever going to hurt me again. I will never let my husband treat me like that. While those vows may be comforting to us, the Word of God calls them evil. They're not plumb. They don't line up with the Word of God. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, it says, you have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows, you must carry out your vows that you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Do not say by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just simply say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond that, listen to this, anything beyond this is from the evil one. Vows are evil. You're not to go around swearing things like, I will never. When we make an inner vow, a promise, we're vowing to ourselves the only place that God is supposed to be sitting. When you say this, I'll never be poor. No one's ever going to hurt me again. Really? Really? When we say things like that, we're making this promise to ourselves, and guess who's not the Lord of our lives in those areas? I'm never gonna be poor. Guess who's not the Lord of your finances anymore? You are. You put yourself in the place of the Lord, because nobody's ever gonna make you be poor again. I'm never gonna get hurt again. Guess who's not the Lord of your relationships? God is not the Lord of your relationships, because you've made a vow to yourself that you will never let anybody hurt you. In effect, what we're saying is, I'm the God of my finances. I'm the God of my relationships. In every area of your life that you have intervowed, Jesus is not the Lord in that area. Intervows cause a separation between us and the Lord. And that's why the book of Matthew says they're evil. Don't make vows. They prohibit the ability to learn and grow in healthy ways and cause us to go to extremes in our thoughts and actions. This is a vow that I hear of a lot. You did an intervow, we'll never spank our children. And the reason you made that intervow is because maybe you were spanked as a child in an abusive way. And understand, you never should beat your children. But the book of Proverbs says a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it away from him. But the extremes that family go to, there are families that beat their children. This is wrong. But there's also families who don't discipline their children at all. And this is too wrong. What I want you to notice is the family that beats their children is probably operating out of an iniquity. They were beat as a child. So they're doing the same thing that was done to them. But the family says, I'm not going to discipline my child. They're making an inner vow because of the iniquity. Every time we make these iniquities, we're putting ourselves in lordship in that area. This is a picture here. So you see these two guys, and there's two drunk guys. They've had too much to drink, two of them, and they're walking down the road, and one falls in the ditch of iniquity. He falls into the ditch of iniquity. His parents had drinking issues as well. And so he can't stay on the road, because every time he tries to get on the road, he falls right back into the ditch. Then on the other side, you have a person that says, well, I'm never going to be like my parents, and they're falling into the ditch of inner vow. And they get up and they're like, well, at least I'm like him, but I'm not going to be like them. And they fall right back into the ditch. Here's the thing. They're both trying to go down a road, and they keep falling into the ditch of iniquity and inner vows. Neither one getting to the destination that God has intended for them because of those things, the sin in their life, the vows in their life. It's just insanity back and forth. So we need to break those things off of our lives so we can get to the intended destination that God has for us. But you can't get there with these iniquities and inner vows in your life. The thing about inner vows is they demand loyalty. If I don't do anything else, I'm gonna stick to my vow. Nobody's ever gonna hurt me again. How do you break inner vows? Ask the Holy Spirit to show them to you. God, have I made an inner vow? A lot of times you'll know because there's pain attached to it. Unhealed hurt and trauma. Second, you repent to God. You didn't know any better. You're just trying to protect yourself. But you need to repent. Third, you forgive. You forgive the person that caused you to make that inner vow. We're made free again through forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean they were right or wrong. It makes you free. Ask the Lord to help you live by the word. Say, God, teach me how to deal with relationships, how to deal with my finances, how to deal with all these things. Finally, submit. We submit to the word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring sanctification in our mind and our will and our emotions. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. We'll be plumb with the word of God and help us walk the road that God has called us to. Stand up one more time, we're gonna be done. I wanna pray another prayer. No pauses this time. And we're gonna break inner vows. And I just want you to agree with this prayer. Okay. As I was speaking, probably you heard some of the things that maybe you said these things before. Maybe you had your own inner vows. But we need to break those off because they're not God. They're evil. So just receive this prayer. Father, I recognize that you are God and I am not. Therefore, I confess to you that I've attempted to protect myself and those I love in my own strength. I repent for pushing you out of that part of my life, for not trusting you and submitting to your authority in my life. I repent for thinking I could do a better job than you could do, of keeping me and those I love safe and relying on my own strength instead of yours. Forgive me for making inner vows. I renounce those vows and break my agreement with them. By the power and of the blood and Jesus Christ, I thank you for breaking every negative consequence of my sin. I receive your forgiveness for making these vows, and I choose to forgive those who hurt me. I choose now to bring every part of my life back under your authority and protection. I choose to trust you and your will for my life. And I ask you again, Lord, to be a part of every part of my life. Thank you for your grace and your mercy through the blood of your Son, which covers my life. Thank you for removing and transforming my heart of stone into a tender and sensitive heart that is in tune with your Spirit. Father, I declare that you are my rock, my shield, and my fortress, my defender, my ever-present help. Thank you for setting me free today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering this morning? Listen, before we leave here today, we want to give an opportunity for those who have never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. You may be here in this room. You may be joining us online today. Thank you so much for being here. But if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to tell you, today is a day of salvation. This is an opportunity where we say, you know what, God, I've done it my way long enough. I want to do it your way. And so if you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and you say, listen, I need to get clean. I need to get right before God. I want to come back to him. Put your hand up for me real quickly. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room? I see you there. Thank you so much. Thank you. I see you, ladies. Thank you so much. If you're there online, if you could just put the hands up emoji, we're praying for you as well. Now, we've got a couple of hands raised up in here this morning. I want everybody together. We're going to pray this prayer together. It's going to be a short prayer. And I want you that raised your hands up specifically to pray this prayer with us. Okay? And this is just a reminder to us as believers that we never outgrow grace. We need grace daily. But it's also to come alongside our brothers and sisters who raise their hands to say, hey, we're with you. We support you. If you're there online, you can do the same. Pray this prayer out loud. Father God, thank you that you came to save me. I repent of my sin and ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive your salvation, the salvation of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray in his name that you will lead me and guide me into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord one more clap offering?